We've been sharing a wonderful message. We say it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It is indeed a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17. Wow. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Hallelujah. The Lord will spare you as a man spares his own son. As you serve the Lord, he will spare you. I say, as you serve the Lord, he will spare you. As you serve the Lord, though they have pronounced certain diagnoses over your life, but as you serve the Lord, he will spare you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord will bring you closer to himself. Amen. The Lord will bring you closer and closer to himself. Amen. He says he will spare you. You will become like jewels to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm not sure if you have seen how a woman treats her jewels. You know, they don't have bank accounts, but they will find a security deposit in a bank to store their jewels. Amen. They don't have money, but they will spend all they have to buy jewel. And they keep it very well. Hallelujah. They don't lend their jewels. Amen. They don't give out their jewels. Hallelujah. And it says that they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. As you serve the Lord, he will spare you. Amen. Then verse 18, he says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord God had declared. He says that there is a difference between those who serve him and those who do not serve him. If you serve God, there is something about your life that is completely different from someone who does not serve him. If you serve God, that difference will be so clear. He says that as we are going, you may not see the difference very well. As we are moving, it's as if we are all going in the same direction. It's as if we are all together. It is as if we are all doing the same thing. Yes, we all have the same secretarial job. Yes, we all have the same security job. Yes, we all have the same job as policemen. Yes, we all have the same job as doctors, as nurses, as lawyers. But as you are going, it says that, yes, we are going, but you see the two people parting. The two people parting. And you see one is there and one is over there. And then you will look back. And then you will discern. You will see clearly that there is a difference. It says, they shall return. Then shall ye return. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. How many of you can tell easily between a righteous person and a wicked person? You see, sometimes you stand in a court and you can tell the difference between the righteous person and a wicked person. Even judges pronounce certain things upon the righteous versus the wicked. That looks very clear. The evidence are showing. But for the one that serves God versus the one that does not serve God, he says that the difference will be so clear. The difference will be so clear. Your finances will be different. Amen. Your marriage will be different. Amen. I say your marriage will be different. Amen. Your job performance will be different. Amen. The way your boss relates to you will be different from the way the boss relates to others because you serve God. Amen. Amen. Your children will be different from the ones who does not serve God. Amen. Your bank account will be different from the one who serves God versus the one who does not. And in the beginning, it looks as if they are the same. I did not write the Bible. The Lord is saying, he says, then shall you return and you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Oh, it is written. What is written, you can't change it. What is written. You can't change it. And you will return and you will see the difference. You will return and you will see the difference. Hallelujah. One great man of God put it this way. He says, when two babies are born, you see, sometimes when you go to the hospital and they are all wrapped and only their heads are showing, you can't even tell which one is a boy and which one is a girl. Do you see? You can't tell who is a boy and who is a girl. And as they are growing up, you still cannot tell. They are 3 months old. You can't tell the difference if you look at them. Sometimes you meet somebody's baby, and if you are not careful, you will ask, how is he? And it's a she. And the mother will be very, very angry. And the mother will tell you, oh, how is Stella? And she will tell you the name so you know that it's a girl. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes you can even put the same clothes on them. They are sharing clothes, especially if you were a second born. They can put girls' clothes on you. You can easily be wearing boys' clothes. Oh, I was born after a sister. And I wore some girls' clothes before. Girls undershirt, because nobody can see the undershirt. So pink is flowing. Pink undershirt. They put the pink hat on you and you are going to the doctor's office and it's okay. Hallelujah. And they are growing together. But it comes to a point where you see a clear difference between the boy and the girl. And that time when you return, you will discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will see the difference. I say you will see the difference.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this year is a year of serving God.
Amen.
And we have been sharing so many things about serving God.
Right.
And for the last few weeks, we have been sharing about the rules of serving God. Prior to that, we shared about it's a great thing to serve the Lord. And indeed, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. You see, a lot of people think it's a great thing to work for Morgan Stanley, or to work for Verizon, or to work for AT&T. Hallelujah. Or to work for Montefiore. Oh, it's a great thing. There are some people, their dream is to work for, what are some of the big hotels? Hilton Hotel. You see, Marriott Hotel, to work for NYU. You see, and then you feel you have arrived. You where do you work? I work at Waldorf Astoria. You work at Bloomingdale's. You work at Bergdorf Goodman. You see, you don't know some of these places, you see, but people work there. There are places that exist. Hallelujah. But it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Amen. So we are talking about rules of serving God. Rules of serving God. And the first rule, we said, God alone must be your master. One of the rules we shared was that God alone must be your master. Hallelujah. Your job should not be your master. Amen. The thing that tells you go and you go, that thing is your master. And God must be your master. If you say you are serving God, then God alone must be your master. Hallelujah. God alone must be your master. We read a scripture in Luke 16 and verse 13. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. If you are a servant, there is no way you can serve two masters. You either hate the one or despise the one and love the other. You can never serve two masters. You find yourself being loyal to one and being disloyal to the other. You find yourself being faithful to one and being unfaithful to the other. Hallelujah. You find one annoying you each time an instruction is given. That is why you find a woman who is serving a husband and a boyfriend. She's always angry when the husband asks for something. She's always angry when the husband is making certain demands. Hallelujah. But the boyfriend can say anything and she will do it. That will never happen in this church. I said that will never happen in this church. Husbands of this church, you will be the only master that your husband, your wife will serve. Hallelujah. Your boyfriend says, I will eat jollof rice. And then you make it jollof plus fried rice. And then you say, make a choice. Which one? I made two different types of jollof rice. Choose one. And your husband says, I will eat jollof rice. Say, it's too late. I cannot defreeze the meat. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. You say, eat cereal. Tomorrow I will make you jollof. Bear, you will drink Milo. Milo. Milo with bread. Amen. You can't serve two masters. Hallelujah. You cannot serve two masters. The second rule we said was what? You cannot serve God and expect reward of service. Hallelujah. We don't serve God and expect that He will reward us. Amen. Even though God has said that those who diligently seek Him, He will reward them. He said He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But what He's expecting is that you are diligently seeking Him, not seeking His rewards. Hallelujah. You see, He rewards those who diligently seek Him, not His rewards. You cannot seek God's rewards. If you seek His rewards, He will not give you. If your mindset is that you'll be in a church that you'll find a wife, you see, because a lot of men in their unbelieving life, they do all sorts of things, sleeping with all sorts of women. And so all the women who are around them, they don't find them fit for marriage. And when they are ready to marry, they say, let me go to the church and find myself a good wife. If that is the reason why you come to church, God will not cause any woman to come to you. And may the Lord open the eyes of the single women in this church, that they shall see the ones who are seeking them because they are in the church. But as a young man, just seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And He will reward you with a good wife. Hallelujah. I say He will reward you with a good life. Amen. A good wife. A wonderful wife. But He says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God does not like when we are searching for things from Him. One day some people went to Jesus. And then when they arrived, there were some of His pastors around. You know, and they are keeping watch, control. You know, you can see. So these guys, when they arrived, they say, sir, we must see Jesus. So, Philip and John and all these people, hey, wait. He said, sir, we must see Jesus. He said, we are here. If there's anything, talk to us. If there's anything that you need, you tell us. We will relay. He says, we must see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And that should be your attitude. When your attitude is that you must see Jesus, you will find Jesus. When your attitude is that when you come to church, it's not about the pastor. You are not coming to seek the pastor. You are not coming to hear the pastor. Your attitude is that as I am coming, may I find Jesus. Because even before you came, he knew what you are after. Before you came, he knew what you are after. Because there are some other group, when they came, they were searching for him. He took a boat, he crossed the river. By the time he got there, they were there already, waiting for him. And so when you look at them, it looks as if they want him so badly. It looks as if they want him so badly. And then he looked at them. He says, you people, I know why you are looking for me. Because I gave you bread to eat. That is why you are coming. The Lord knows our motives. The Lord knows our motives. So in other words, as they were coming, if they have found some free bakery, a bakery where they were giving free bread, they would not have come to him. They would not have come to him. But we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We shall seek him and not his rewards. Amen. So the third one, I believe we started sharing a third one, didn't we? We say, you cannot serve God if you are a man pleaser. Third rule, you cannot serve God if you are a man pleaser. And we read a scripture in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's look at that quickly. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, for do I now persuade man or God? Whom do I persuade? Do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? Do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. If you are a servant of Christ, you cannot seek to please man. If you want to serve God, you cannot seek to please man. Hallelujah. He says, for if I yet please man, then I should not be a servant of Christ. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. Luke 6, 26. Hallelujah. He says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. The Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. When all men speak well of you, there's a curse that is upon you. He says, woe unto you. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. The moment you find all men speaking well of you, know that you are not pleasing the Lord. Know that you are not serving God. When all men say good things about you, know that you are not serving God. That is why as a pastor, I am not worried when people gather and they are saying certain things about me. It does not bother me at all. It means that the scripture is being fulfilled and I am serving my master. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I am not concerned at all. I am not worried at all when men gather and they are talking about me. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a woe unto you. When all men, everyone says good things about you. Everyone says, everyone is applauding you for what you are doing. Woe unto you. Hallelujah. Woe unto you. John chapter 5 and verse 41. Jesus says, I receive not honor from men. He says, I do not receive honor from men. If your goal is to receive honor from men, you cannot serve God. If your goal is that men will applaud you and men will clap for you, you cannot serve God. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve God if your goal is to please men. You cannot serve God if you want the men to be happy with you. But I tell you, the Bible says God is not an author of confusion. If you are pleasing him, he will set things in order amongst the men. I say, if you will seek to please God, he will set order amongst the men. Hallelujah. He's not an author of confusion. Amen. Sometimes we do things just so we make another person happy. Your friend is not coming to church. So he says, I am not going. Will you go? I am not going. Will you go? And he said, if you are not going, then I'm not going. To show solidarity. We don't show solidarity when we are serving God. Our solidarity is with Christ. He says, we are privileged to partake in his suffering. Hallelujah. So we do not please men. Just because your friend is unhappy, you are also unhappy. Your friend sang and they did not clap for her or they did not clap for him and she's not happy, so you are also not singing anymore. You cannot serve God if your goal is to please men. Hallelujah. If you are singing and we don't clap for you, it does not matter. You are not singing to please men. You are singing to please God. And as your goal is to please him, he is very happy. Because he does not care about your voice. What he cares about is what is coming from your heart. That is why you should not seek to please men. Because they don't know what is in your heart. They don't know how you rehearse in your bathroom. That your toothbrush was your microphone all day and rehearsing and singing up and down. They do not know that. But the God that you are singing to, he saw all of that. He saw your toy. He saw how much casket you were eating. He saw how much banana you ate just to make your voice the way it is now. And the people are not clapping for you. You say, I don't care about you. The God that is up there, he is happy with what I'm doing. I said, the God that is up there, he's happy with what I'm doing. He saw you watching videos, listening. That you were sleeping with the song all night long. Sleeping with the song and singing and sleep and singing. And sometimes you rise up in the morning and the way you sung the song, you yourself, you recorded it. And when you listened to it, it was a different one. You know why? You know why it was a different one? It sounded so well. Because you were singing to the Lord. There was no man to see what you were doing. You were so happy with what you were doing. And then you have the confidence. Because you think that now as I am coming with some confidence. Because I rehearsed and I heard myself and I was happy with it. But you don't know that the Lord gave you the voice like that to sing for him when you were alone with him. And then you come to church and then you stand here and then you realize... What is wrong with this voice? It was not the same. I sang and I can let you listen the way I sung. You know, it was so powerful and it was so beautiful. I myself, I couldn't believe it. You know? Because then it was you and the Lord alone. It was you and the Lord alone. But when you came, you want to please the men. You want to please the women. You want to let them clap for you. And so you realize the voice is not coming. The voice is not coming. Hallelujah. Amen. You realize the voice is not coming. Hallelujah. You cannot seek to please the Lord, the people, if you want to serve the Lord. You can't seek to please them. Amen. You see, as a pastor, my goal should not be that I preach that you'll be happy. That is not my goal. My goal is not that I will preach and you clap for me. That should not be my goal. Because I can preach. There are certain messages when I preach, you will not clap. You will not be happy and you will go. But I am happy because it's the word of God that I have preached. Amen. And I can preach certain messages that you say amen throughout the preaching. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Oh yes. I can preach a certain message that every sentence that I finish, you will say amen. And you will stand onto your feet and then you will receive and you will be happy and you will be blessed. But I'm not pleasing the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yes. I can preach and you can say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can say, three people on this side are receiving Mercedes Benz. I said, three people on this side, they are receiving Mercedes Benz. You are dreaming and you are receiving Mercedes Benz. I said, three people. One, two, three, it is gone. I see two people here driving a Lexus. I said, two people on this side are driving a Lexus. I said, two people, only two. I see one man and one woman receiving it. Oh, somebody is receiving it. I hear somebody receiving it. How many people are receiving it? If you can jump higher, you can receive it. If you can jump higher, you can receive it. Yes. Yes.
Somebody is receiving promotion. I don't know why, but I feel that somebody is receiving promotion. I say somebody is receiving promotion. Somebody is receiving promotion. I see 5 people here receiving promotion and 3 people here receiving promotion. Oh, receive your blessings. I say receive your blessings. I say receive your blessings. Stand up onto your feet and let us close. And we are done. Hallelujah. And you would have come here and you were not edified. And you would have come here and you were excited. And you would have come here and you would have left empty. Nothing deposited in your life. I said nothing deposited in your life. You would have come here and you have left and you are the same Christian. Serving your job and serving God. Not knowing the difference between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. But I will preach the word of God to you. And my goal is that you will be edified. My goal is that when you live here, you feel the Lord has spoken to you. My goal is that when you live here, you will make a transition and a transformation in your life. A decision would have been made that from today, I will serve God. When you live here, you will put your job on the second and God is your first. Hallelujah. Amen. We cannot preach to please the man. We cannot preach. We can say so many things to please you. Hallelujah. We can say so many things to please you, but that is not the goal. So you see, if I say serve the Lord, it does not excite you. If I say serve the Lord, let your mind be on the Lord, it does not excite you. You see, you have read the scripture many times. It says, he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And your mind has always been on the reward. That as I'm serving God, he will reward me. As I'm serving God, you. But you have never analyzed the scripture and say, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not the reward. So as you are living here today, you are diligently going to seek the Lord. And he will reward you. I say, he will reward you. He will reward you. He will reward you. As you diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Amen. The next one. You cannot serve God with eye service. You cannot serve God with eye service. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, not with eye service, as man pleases. Not with eye service, as man pleases. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From the heart. Not with eye service. These things are in the scriptures though. It says, not with eye service, as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Do you know what is eye service? That you serve the eyes. You are serving the eyes. Literally, you are serving the eyes. When the eyes can see you, you are serving. When the eyes cannot see you, you are not serving. When men can see you, you are serving. When they cannot see you, you are not serving. Sometimes people come for prayer meeting and then you see them talking. They are talking and then when you turn your eyes to look at them, then they are praying. It is eye service. If eyes can see you, you are serving. But if eyes cannot see you, you will not serve. I remember some time ago when we were in the Manhattan church, there was a season where there was abundant blessings given. And so certain times, offerings will be called. And then we say, you know, people who can give $100 offering. And then you see many people will come forward and give $100 offering, $50 offering. And many people will come and give $50 offering. And that was for a season. And it was gone. So I asked myself, there were some people that are always, every day, they are coming and they are giving $100 offering as we call for these offerings. So one day, I asked one of the treasurers, and I said, Do we still see the $100 offering as we have stopped calling for them? Jesus, no. Now it's $1, $1, $1, $1. So all the people who gave the 100, now they are sharing it for the year. $1, $1, $1, $1, $1, $1 to make up all the $100 that they gave for the year. You see? But it says from the heart. Because the one who knows your heart, he knows what you are able to give. He knows what you are able to do. He says, not eye service, not as man pleases, but from the heart. Give unto the Lord from the heart. Amen. You don't come to church when your pastor is not around. When the pastor is not around, that is the end. You don't come to church. When you hear that pastor has traveled, you don't come to church. Because the pastor cannot see you. A lot of times I have traveled and you say, oh, who is preaching? Oh, Brother Iman is preaching. Oh, where is pastor? You see, sometimes you come and then you don't see me here. And they say, okay, we invite the man of God to come and preach. And then Brother Emmanuel is preaching. Oh, but where is pastor? Why? Why? The Lord has anointed someone to stand behind his pulpit to preach the word, to open the scriptures, to share the word with you. But you see, it's eye service. If the pastor is not here, I am not coming. Sometimes you come to church and you are so disappointed. Oh, I say, pastor has traveled. How long? Oh, when is he coming? 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Okay. Then that means that your church coming next time will be in 2 weeks. You have taken a vacation. Who are you? What reward can I give you? If you are serving my eyes, what reward can I give you? I cannot give you any reward. The Bible did not say that I am a rewarder. I, Reverend Bright, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. You can seek me. I don't have much reward to give you. I don't have anything to give you. I don't have anything to give you. Hallelujah. It says, not eye service. Not eye service. Hallelujah. Not eye service. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. You know, let me just finish this Ephesians chapter 6. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me finish this. Let's go further down. Ephesians chapter 6. And we read from verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, he shall also same receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Hallelujah. So he says that anything that you do, you shall of the Lord receive a reward. That means that if you are a man pleaser, you shall of the Lord receive a reward. If you are pleasing the Lord also, you shall of the Lord receive a reward. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever you do, you receive a reward for it. Look, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you do, you receive a reward for it. Does the Lord pardon? Yes, he pardons. He will forgive you, but you receive a reward. He's not like a man. He will not withhold it, but you will receive a reward. He says, whatsoever a man doeth, that he will receive a reward. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. He says, not only in my presence, but also in my absence. Work diligently, work out your own salvation. Beloved, we are all working out our own salvation. It is not the pastor's salvation. It is not the pastor's work. It is not the pastor's church. It is your own salvation. And he says that work it out, your own. Work out your own salvation. Serve God for yourself. Not only when I am around, but even when I'm absent. Even much more. To show that without, with or without the pastor, you are persevering and you are seeking and you are fighting for your own salvation. Hallelujah. It says with fear and trembling. Are we searching for the Lord with fear and trembling? Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. Is somebody being blessed this afternoon? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. This is the pastor Paul telling the church in Galatia. He says, it is good to be zealously affected. Be zealously affected, not sometimes, not when the pastor is around, not when the pastor is preaching, but always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Be zealously affected always. Say zealously,
zealously.
Affected. Always. That's a czar. To be a czar. Tell your neighbor, be a czar.
Be a czar.
Ask your neighbor, do you know what is a czar? Ask them, let them tell you. Hallelujah. Zealously affected. Be zealously affected. Always. And not only when I am around. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And verse 1. You see, when your eye, when you are an eye servicer, when you are serving just as you see, you realize that when your pastor is not there, you can't serve. When your pastor is not there, you can't do the things that you used to do. When your pastor is not there, it is so difficult to rise up to come. There was a church. I'm just going to show you one church in Exodus chapter 32. And verse 1. It says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain. You see, the pastor had traveled up to be with the Lord. He's going to wait on the Lord. The pastor had gone on retreat. He had an appointment with the Lord. And so he left the church in the hands of his assistant. And he went to meet the Lord. And the Bible says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. They said, come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. Do you see? They say, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses, who brought us here from the land of Egypt. Do you see? Their eyes all the while were on the pastor. So as the pastor was leading them, they thought it was the pastor who brought them from Egypt. It was the pastor who lifted up his rod and parted the sea. It was the pastor who struck the rock and water was coming. It was the pastor who caused manna to rain from heaven. You see, nothing is from the pastor. There is no reward that is from the pastor. Amen.
Amen.
There is no reward that is from the pastor. So you can say the power is in him. The power is not in the pastor. The power is in the Lord. The power comes from the Lord. If you receive a miracle, it is from the Lord. If you receive healing, it is from the Lord. Your eyes must always be on the Lord. If you are seeking for something, let your eyes be on the Lord. And not on any man. Hallelujah. But the Lord will always choose a man to lead. He says, as for this fellow Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. So Aaron said, you see, now this is an assistant also whose eyes were not on the Lord. Or an assistant who also was pleasing the people. An assistant who sought to please men. So the Bible says, and Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them unto me. You see, do you think that if he has said, no, we have to wait for Moses, we are not having another God, the people will not have been happy with him? They will not have been. I say, whenever you are trying to make the people happy with you, you are not pleasing God. Whenever you are doing the will of the people, you are not pleasing God. So he says, as if that's what you want, then bring your earrings, the ones that are in the wife's ears, and your sons and your daughters, bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. He did it himself to make the people happy. He said, when the people saw it, they exclaimed, oh Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. These are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Aaron saw how excited the people were. You see, he saw how happy the people were. He saw the people were so excited. They were so pleased with him. They were so happy with what he had done. The Bible says he saw how excited the people were. So he built an altar in front of the calf. When he saw that people were so happy, now he built an altar to make the people happy with him. This is the pastor who gave us what we wanted. This is the pastor who cares about us. Hallelujah. He built an altar and put it, he built an altar for them when he saw how excited. And he said, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feastings, drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. The Lord told Moses, quick, go down the mountain. Your people whom you brought from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Now I want you to see something. This was the pastor who led them. This was the pastor who held the rod and parted the ocean. This was the pastor who led them out of the land of Egypt. But he did not even see. He did not even have power to see just down the mountain what was happening. But there's the Lord who sees the affairs of man. The Lord whose eyes are all over the place. The Lord whose eyes are in your home when there's no pastor. The Lord whose eyes are at your job when there's no pastor. The Lord whose eyes are on the train when there are no Christians around. The Lord whose eyes are in the supermarket when there are no Christians around. To hear the way you speak. To hear the way you talk as a Christian. To hear how you give. To hear that they give you more change than you needed. And you look and there was no Christian and you walk away. It was that Lord who was observing, and he saw, but the pastor did not see. Right down the mountain, the pastor did not see. Right down the mountain. He says, go down quickly, for the people have corrupted themselves. And the pastor was probably, what a shock. What are you talking about, Lord? I left them in a good hand. I left them in a very safe hand. They couldn't have. He could not see. Hallelujah. Not for eye service. You cannot serve God with eye service. Hallelujah. You know, I have so much to say, share with you, but I think we cannot. What a shock. Okay, let us read one more scripture. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 1. Matthew chapter 23. And verse number 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there with me? Are you coming along? Oh, yeah. Powerful. You see, as I'm reading the scriptures to you. And you see, I don't need you to clap for me. I don't need, if the word blesses you, it is the word of the Lord. So your clapping is unto the Lord. That is why when you clap and your clap is cheap, I am not happy about that. I'm not saying the clap is cheap for me. It's cheap unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, The teachers of religious law and Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you. But don't follow their examples. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Now that is also another thing. There are some people, they do certain things. You see, a pastor is supposed to live a holy life. But when they see the pastor smoking, when they see the pastor smoking cigarette, that's the end of their church. When they hear that the pastor, you see, there are certain marriages, they are on the edge. You see, they are on the edge. Every day, you see, one of them runs to the edge and he returns. He comes to church and then certain word comes and he will return or she will return. Every day. But the day they hear that the pastor and his wife has divorced, that is the day for them. It is a day of jumping over, dipping down into the valley. Hallelujah. But when your eyes are on the Lord, Jesus says, do not do what they do. Amen. When your eyes are on the Lord, he says, they crush the people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. Do you hear what I'm sharing with you? There are some people, everything they do is for show. They do everything for show. On their arms, it says they wear extra wide prayer boxes and scripture verses inside. You know, I remember there was a brother. You can't stop to talk to him. This brother is always, and when you are talking to him, he wants everything. He's always. If you see him sitting somewhere, look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing to always be. The Bible says that we should always be praying. Always. But you see, these people, their prayers, they have written them on their sleeves. Scriptures. Scriptures on their sleeves. Hallelujah. He says that scriptures, verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called Rabbi. Rabbi. Say Rabbi. Rabbi. Like I come and I say, from today on, everyone should call me Rabbi. If you see me and you want to greet me, say, yay, Rabbi. Say, yay, Rabbi. He says, they love such respectful greetings. They love such respectful greetings. Yay, Rabbi. Oh, Rabbi. Rabbi has arrived. Rabbi has come. Rabbi. You see, that is what they are after. He says, everything they do is for show. Whatever they do is for show. He says, don't let anyone call you Rabbi. For you have only one teacher. And all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. That is why, you see, it's not a problem for me to carry my bag. I carry my bag. Do you know the bag I carry to work is heavier than this? I carry heavier bag because as I'm going to work, my clothes for church, everything is inside my bag. And I'm carrying it. Sometimes I'm carrying my suit on my coat bag. Garment bag. And I'm carrying them. And one day I left my garment bag on the train. Mercy. The pastor is coming to church. One day I would have nearly come to church to preach in scraps. The pastor is going. And then the pastor hung the thing. You see, you put the thing on the top of the train. And then as I was leaving, I just grabbed my bag. And I left my garment bag on top of the train. But God was so good. When I got to work, I didn't even know I've left my garment bag. My traveling was easy at that time. And so when I got to work, I said, ah. I always hung my garment back here and it was not there. So then I remembered that I did not take it from the train. So I called the people at the lost and found. They said it's not there. So they said, give it some few hours. So the next, I think it was the next morning or the same day. In the afternoon, I called again. They said, fill a form, ABC, blah, 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 information to identify. So I went there and they said, okay, is that your bag? I said, that's my bag. But the Lord was good. They said, tell us what is inside the bag. I said, oh, my own clothes that I have selected for church, I know what's inside. I have this and I have that and I have that. And I can tell you the make and the what is there and what is this and that. So I told them and they said, that is correct. It's yours. And they signed it out to me. Hallelujah. What brought us here? What was I saying that I came to this? Rabbi. Yeah, Rabbi. Hallelujah. Yeah, Rabbi. Amen. Say, don't let anyone call you Rabbi. There's only one. And all of us are equal. Hallelujah. One last scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fastings. You see, there are certain Christians, they want people to see how serious Christians they are. He said that when they fast, you can see in their face dry lips, their lips are cracked, and they look very hungry. Their eyes are red because they woke up at 4 a.m. to pray. And why? You didn't sleep? What is wrong? Church, oh. Church. Why? What is wrong with church? Oh, it's our church. Okay, let's go for lunch. I can't go. Why? Oh, church. Why? Are you fasting? Oh, no, church. They know you are fasting. They know you are fasting. You look very hungry. But look at what when the Lord, he says that, I tell you the truth that is the only reward that they will ever get. So the whole month, 21 day fasting, as we are fasting, the only reward that you got was your colleague told you, I didn't know you were such a serious Christian. So you are fasting for 21 days. So all these days you are not eating. And it's for Christ. He says, they have received their rewards already. And the next verse, he says, but when you fast, comb your hair. And wash your face. Put on some makeup. Put some lipstick. Put some lip shine. Put up some Mary Kay here. And put some rouge. And put some makeup. Rouge. Shade. Put some eye shade. I want your eye. So that you look beautiful as you are fasting. And wear high heel. Don't say, I am too hungry to wear high heel. For the whole week. Now you are not wearing high heel. Every day you wear high heel. As you pass by the Muhammad who sells the tea, the coffee, and the on Fordham Road, as you are passing, sister, why today? No, Muhammad, stand onto your feet. Let us bring the service to a close.